Everything hinges on that cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the open door into the presence of the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Jesus is talking about that way which he opened, a new and a living way, which he opened through the death of himself. And the whole New Testament emphasizes that so strongly. It's the cross of Christ which is the open door into the kingdom of God. The blood of the cross is our only salvation, Dr. Gray sings in his song. But the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. No wonder they try to get away from it. Some time ago, riding in a car and turning on the radio, I heard a religious program, and the singers were using Mr. Graves' beautiful song, "He Was Nailed to the Cross for Me." No, it was a similar song which he wrote. But anyway, I was so impressed by the fact that they eliminated the things he says about the blood of Jesus Christ. They substituted other words for it. And yet there is no salvation, no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And the preaching of the cross is to us the wisdom of God. Oh, how foolish is a person that tries to evade that wonderful issue, the cross of Christ. But the preaching of the cross offers the cross to me, and offers to me a life that is life indeed. Oh, how very wonderful is the cross of Christ. Paul says, "By whom the world is crucified unto me." That cross did something that the law could not do and that I could not do. And it becomes such a practical teaching and doctrine to me. The world is crucified by the cross of Christ. The world that has made us so much trouble. The world. And by that, the Holy Ghost includes everything that pertains to this earthly, defiled, sinful human existence. All that has been done away with. And I was crucified in Christ unto the world. Beloved, that is a great act of God. And it happens to those who receive Jesus as their Lord and Master. When he asks us to take up our cross daily and to follow him, I always said, well, what did Jesus mean and what could these disciples have understood? Undoubtedly, they couldn't understand it in his day because Jesus had not yet been crucified. Well, isn't that what Jesus says? Except you take up your cross daily, you cannot be my disciple. Where are you going, Jesus? Oh, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, obedient unto the death of the cross. That's what he's talking about. In him was life. His life is a life that has gone through the cross and has come forth triumphantly. It's a pure life. It's a life that has been judged for me, in which all my sins have been judged and condemned and executed and now risen from the dead. And when I take up my cross to follow Jesus, I reckon myself dead indeed unto sin. Sin has no hold on me anymore. Sin cannot touch me. It shall not reign over me anymore. Flesh is done away with. Thank God I submit my whole life. I give my body a living sacrifice. I submit to the will of God, which, glory to God, is wrought out in me by the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit whom Jesus Christ received from the Father when he was glorified. What does he mean when he says, you think I came to bring peace upon this earth? I came to set this world on fire. And would to God it was burning already. He's talking about humanity burning with the fire of the Holy Ghost. New creation in Christ Jesus. The old things are passed away. All things are become new. He is that new creation. He is that new man. Oh, he says, I wish it were burning already, but I have to be baptized with a baptism. In other words, I've got to take the sins of the world upon myself and bury them in the grave, and then receive from the Father that fountain of life, which becomes a fountain in every heart that receives me. Oh, Jesus, how glorious is the cross. How very, very wonderful is your cross. It delivers me from that which cursed me. And it delivers me from all the bondage of the flesh. Glory to God, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Because the Spirit is now given since Jesus was glorified. Oh, this second Adam, this last Adam, gives me a life which my father Adam was not able to give me. My father Adam gave me a defiled life, and I really have it from him. I mean Adam in the Garden of Eden. Of course, my father in Switzerland was named Adam too. But he wasn't any too good either. He was also born of the flesh, and he used to say, well, my son, he says, when I look at you, I see myself. Sure. And the same temper, the same pride, the same self-will. I had some inheritance, and I got it from Adam and Eve. They sure started something. Praise God, but now I have a new inheritance. Oh, what an inheritance, all because Jesus Christ was crucified, and when he was crucified, he brought to me that annihilation of my old life. Glory to God. And he opened heaven and he said, he that drinketh of the water that I give him, here, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come, drink. And he that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he concerning the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Oh, the preaching of the cross doesn't only mean that you should hang a cross around your neck and look holy. It means far more than that. It's God's sentence upon my earthly life. That which is born of the flesh is enmity against God. If ye mortify the deeds of the body. Most people don't do that. Most Christians don't do that. Why, it isn't taught them. Mortify. Why, no? Came to this meeting with sort of a heavy heart. I had a letter from someone that I thought was my best friend, Pentecostal preacher. And he told me how angry he was at me because I didn't honor him. I didn't call him doctor of theology. I called him by his first name. I said, Fritz. And he was mortally wounded. What is that? Why, if you live in the flesh, you shall die
But almost everybody's satisfied to live in the flesh. We got our sensitive feelings. We have our thoughts that are unclean. Pride, ambition, selfishness, nervousness. And we're satisfied to be like that. You don't have to be satisfied. Glory to God. The preaching of the cross is wisdom of God, power of God. It shows you the fountain of a new life, thank God, a life that is everlasting. And let no man think that he has everlasting life until Jesus lives in him. But that's my choice. And when I choose the flesh, I choose death. Oh, how many choose death every day and thereby crucify the Son of God to themselves afresh. Let this mind be in you, O Jesus. Your cross, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Oh, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The cross of Christ is light, light of eternity, is glory, is hallelujah, victory over all hell. And only the cross brought that victory. I have to be baptized with a baptism. Isn't it strange how on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter said, "Let us build three tabernacles, Lord, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," he thought, well, the kingdom of God had come, and Jesus said it had. That was the kingdom of God. Glory to God. Jesus transfigured into the glory of that resurrected Son of God. God had to give them a taste of it, and God had to give Jesus Christ a taste of it, because it was at that period. Do you know what Elijah and Moses talked to Jesus about? They told him that he had to go and be crucified. And as the blazing, illuminated Son of God, so that his very clothes were brighter than the sun, God said, "Now this is my beloved Son, hear him." He's going to say something different than Moses. Moses said, "Thou shalt, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die." And Jesus says, "Come, let's reckon together. Now if your sins be as scarlet, glory to God, they shall be as white as snow." Oh, he had to be baptized with that baptism. Glory to God. Moses, we could have had 1,000 Moses crucified and they wouldn't have washed away a single sin of mine. Moses was able to get the law and to come with a baseball bat and crush my skull. And Elijah was able to call fire from heaven and devour every sinner. And he did it. And to slay the prophets of Baal. But Jesus Christ was able to be made sin for me and for you. Glory to God. And take the punishment and take that sin out of the way so that it never existed. Glory to God. So that all who believe in him shall be justified. Justified. Thank God that God is a just judge, and yet he justifies you and me. And all hell cannot find a spot or anything to accuse me of. He overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb. Nothing else could do it. That precious blood is the life of Jesus, the life of God, God himself, and it's the life that has already been judged. I am he that was dead and am alive forevermore. Glory to God. All the preaching of the cross presents me with a life. I must make my choice. And if I choose my old life, I shall lose it, God says. But if you lose it for my sake, you'll find it. Here's life. Hallelujah. Oh, that God might give us grace and wisdom to grasp it. We'll never enjoy Christian life like God wants us to until we go the way of the cross. Until we recognize that that cross is my only cure, but it is, thank God. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why do you allow sin to have dominion over you? Why should a Pentecostal preacher be proud and conceited and angry because he's not honored? Why should I lose my temper? Why shouldn't I exhibit love, the fruit of the Spirit? Oh, here it is. If ye then be risen with Christ, have you? Seek the things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead. Wouldn't it be marvelous if God could say that of everyone in this fellowship? You're dead. Praise the Lord. You are dead. Well, you are. God says you are if you accept it. You are absolutely dead. My father used to tell of a monastery there in Germany where they had the habit when a monk died, they had a watch. Of course, they do that today. But they had a strange monk. He was in the casket, and every night at midnight he began to pound with his fists against the lid of that casket. And they couldn't get anybody anymore to watch him. All the monks were frightened, and they couldn't get any watch anymore. So the shoemaker of the monastery offered to watch. He said, "I ain't afraid of no ghost." All right, they gave him the job, and he took his anvil. You know how the shoemakers used to have an anvil? They put the shoe over it, and then they'd hammer there. And so he took that anvil, and he kept hammering there, and he looked at the clock, and looked at the clock. And exactly at midnight, that thing began to go inside that casket. So he, of course, ein derber Schwab, he took the hammer and he hit it on the lid of the casket. He said, "Was tot ist, was tot bleibt." And that was the end of the spook. You can do that. Step him on the nose. Was tot ist, was tot bleibt. Crucified, reckon yourselves dead indeed. And you know, words won't do it, no. And a pretension won't do it. Oh, how many pretend. And they get a blessing, you know, and they think, they say, that's a revival. Listen, a real revival is made in the valley, in the trial. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith proves that you're dead indeed. When my brother came home and said he was saved, I had a naughty little sister. She's still naughty, but she ain't little anymore. She was going to test him. She crawled all over him. Then she pulled one ear. Then she pulled the other ear. And then she got behind him, and then she pulled his hair. And she tried every trick. And finally she came to Mother, and she says, "Mother, he's saved." She knew what he would have done before that. But now he's just as calm as a lamb. Glory to God. But you know, the Bible says they overcame the dragon. He comes around when you don't think of it. He tests you at the time when you feel the weakest. But what does the Bible say? In their mouth was found no guile. They were really overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Beloved, we need the blood of the Lamb. We need the preaching of the cross in our souls. Paul says, "I write unto you weeping, They're enemies of the cross of Christ. Their God is their belly. They mind earthly things. Their hearts are not crucified with Christ. Oh, the gospel is the power of God to save. And that's how it saves. By the power of his death and endless life. Oh, the exceeding greatness of his power is to usward who believe. And we need to know it and submit to it. Lots of people I've heard these divine healers quote that text. It's nice, it's true. The exceeding greatness of his power does heal us, does deliver us. But that word power ought to be translated authority. Take my yoke upon you. Let me be the boss. Oh, this boss that comes to dwell within you. This Lamb of God on the throne of your heart. Glory to God who possesses the seven spirits of God, all power and all wisdom, and he wants to manifest the exceeding greatness of his power within my life. Will I let him? Oh, I must get acquainted with the power of the cross. I must get acquainted with the doctrine of Christ that ye have put off. The old man with his deeds. Paul says to the Romans, I've got to talk to you as to babes. You don't understand yet. Don't you know that one time you yielded your members, servants of unrighteousness unto sin? And what was your fruit? Aren't you ashamed of it? Why, yes, you're ashamed of it. But now, yield these same members to Christ, to whom you yield yourselves to serve. His slaves you are. I have the choice. Thank God, what a choice. Here's the Master of Heaven. He has exceeding great authority. He has power over all flesh to give eternal life. Beloved, we can't get eternal life anywhere else but from Jesus Christ. And it's only mine as he comes to dwell within my heart. Oh, it's a surrender of my life to him. It's an exchange of my life for his life. That's why he says if you hang on to your life, you can't have mine. You lose it. But if you hate your life, you forget yourself and deny yourself, you will gain eternal life. Now I know this is a crude talk, but I see the blazing eyes. I see the intelligence looking out of your eyes. I'm sure that you're getting something out of it. You should. Else I believe the Holy Ghost will make it alive, will quicken it to your understanding and make you realize the preaching of the cross. Oh, the cross of Christ has accomplished it, has. Glory to God, Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world. There will be no judgment for you if you're crucified with Christ. You're judged already. The prince of this world is cast out. Thank God. Oh, what a deliverance. Hallelujah. But we ought to make first things first and really bow. Our conversation is in heaven. He says, he has raised you up together and made you sit together in heavenly places. Ye have obeyed from the heart. That's where man believes unto salvation. Oh, God. I've been crying to God today. Oh, God. God, don't let me fool myself. You've got to have reality. Jesus says, I am the truth. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. I'm so thankful for the Bible because it doesn't fool us. It doesn't give us a lot of hocus pocus, cunningly devised fables. But it's the truth. as it is in Christ Jesus, that ye put off, ye have put off the old man with his deeds. You might say the old woman with her deeds. Whatever it is, put it off. Crucify. It won't happen, beloved, if I fool myself. And if I'm satisfied to still live in the flesh, I may put on a very spiritual exterior. Oh, it's so easy to do that today. We live in such comfort and we have such an easy time of it. There's nothing demanded of us, and we can act like top-notch saints and yet have the stuff inside. But when you obey from the heart, take up your cross daily means to be crucified with Christ. Not my will. Not my will. And that step by step. The life of Jesus is not going to be manifested fully in my life as long as I insist on having my own way sometimes. And really, in a work like this, the Lord should by this time have some that are accomplished, graduated. There ought to be the coming forth of the life of Jesus. There ought to be that reality of the Son of God. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Oh, now we're going to be very dignified saints, aren't we? Oh, yes, when we go home, we're going to be very, very spiritual until something strikes you. Did I tell you, yes, I did, about that fellow, that hobo? He came to a town so late and so tired, and he was looking for a hotel or a place or a flop house, and there was just one light in one house, and so he went in, and it happened to be the city morgue. It was all full of corpses. There was one empty casket there, and he thought it didn't matter to him. He lay down in that casket. He thought he'd have a good night's rest there. And presently, one of these corpses next to him got up. He had been brought from an automobile accident, and they thought he was dead, and he wasn't. He came to himself. And that frightened this hobo so that he got stiff. He did. He wanted to yell and he couldn't. He couldn't open his mouth. He tried. He tried to kick. He couldn't move any limb at all. And this fellow next to him got up and walked out. But after a while, some men came in. One was a doctor, and he was looking for somebody to bisect or dissect or intersect. And so he asked, he looked at this fellow, this hobo, and all this hobo could do, he couldn't talk. And maybe he prayed in his heart, I don't know. But anyway, he certainly was shine-toed. Well, they left him lay there, and next day some men came and they nailed a lid on the casket and took it out to bury it, and he still couldn't move. He was really frightened. Were you ever frightened like that? Anyway, he really seemed dead. And finally the pallbearers came and they put that casket down into the hole, and then they took a shovel. But when the first shovel of dirt hit that lid, there were some cracks in it. The fella had a sneeze, hard, and now this grave digger's got stiff, eh? Well, I'm just trying to wake us all up, see? That's what happens to a lot of saints. They think they're crucified with Christ, but don't get them sore. Oh, but beloved, the cross of Christ actually presents me with that life that has not only been crucified, but glorified. He justified them, he also glorified. Oh, let us come on with God.